Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, do we have an important show for you lined up today. We're very excited to have Bonnie Friedman on the line. She's an author, speaker, and blogger, and boy, she's got such an important story to tell you, and I want to do a brief introduction and get right to it. Bonnie is passionate about hospital health care, and she's the author of the book Hospital Warrior, How to Get the Best Care for Your Loved One. She is the recipient of numerous professional honors and awards. Her expertise has been and is hard won. She based her experience and her writing and her advocacy is on 24 years of really being a champion for her husband, who has gone through a lot of hospitalizations. We're going to get into some detail on this. And so it became really an ongoing mission for her. And now, of course, we are very fortunate that she is sharing the story and the lessons learned of how to be your own advocate for your healthcare with us, so that maybe we don't have to go through some of the challenges and frustrations and downright difficulty that she experienced. So very glad she's with us. She has, before she started her own business in 2005, she was the director of marketing and customer service for the U.S. Small Business Administration, and she has been doing a lot of work with, of course, helping people understand this mission. So let's dive right in here. Bonnie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. I'm delighted to be with you and all of your listeners.
Well, thank you. And we need to, you know, leverage what you have already learned and have been, you know, so involved. And I know you're very passionate about this, and you've been inspired to blog and write. And of course, I'm holding a copy in my hand of your book, Hospital Warrior, How to Get the Best Care for Your Loved One. So, you know, we need to start, of course, and I know some of it will be unpleasant, and I, you know, regret that, but I think it's very important for you to share the story here, kind of give us an overview of, you know, how you came to be where you are today.
Well, it's a long story. It began officially 26 years ago, but I will tell you probably even earlier than that. When I was growing up, I often watched my mother taking care as best she could of my father's needs while he was in the hospital. And I learned three things from her. One was to always be at the hospital as much as you can. Two was to call for a nurse if you needed help. And three was to keep a nice box of chocolates in the room so all the nurses would stop by and there'd be extra eyes and ears on my father's needs.
That's brilliant.
That was my starting point, and it was really 26 years ago that my husband, Bob, had a heart attack, and so began my journey as a health care advocate for his needs. I'll fast forward to the end real quickly to say Bob is doing very well. He's, in fact, thriving.
Excellent.
And I like to get that up front because
Good. People
sometimes worry or wonder.
Yeah.
So I'd like to put that out of everyone's mind of concern or worry and say that he is just doing as well as he can be. And I like to tell him his job is to stay healthy now because it won't look good for the book if he gets sick again.
That's right. Don't mess up the story. That's wonderful. So during this period when he was in hospital care, and I think if I read correctly, it was, you know, 14 different separate hospitalizations, some more basic, more routine, some rather dramatic, and even life and death. Through all of that, a couple of the big lessons you learned in that process, one I got really quick was to be present. That's really, I think, probably one of the most important ones.
I think it is.
Yeah.
You need to be there or ask someone to be there on your behalf. And that could be other family or friends. Sometimes people even hire someone who might be a nurse or a case manager or social worker, but you really need to have a presence. Hospital care has become so complicated, and medicine is so fragmented today. We have specialists and subspecialists. They're wonderful in their fields of expertise, but no one is necessarily connecting the dots. There isn't always someone who's truly seeing the big picture and who knows the patient well. And that's a really important combination. Most of the time today, when you go to the hospital, your primary care physician is not attending. That doctor is not even involved in many cases in your hospital care. You're assigned a hospitalist, who is someone who is often an internist or other specialist who works for the hospital and is managing the case. That doctor may be a fine physician, but that doctor doesn't know the patient very well and doesn't have any history with the patient. That's one of the things the advocate, the family member, can really do to play an important part. Make sure that hospitalist is up to date on the patient's medical history, and play an active role in what I keep calling connecting the dots.
Yeah.
Because someone has to be looking at the big picture.
That's so important, Bonnie. Well, and you've said it all so well that, you know, connecting the dots and bringing it together and being the advocate. And, you know, I tell people all the time when it comes to your finances, nobody cares more about your money than you do. And you could very easily swap out health there and say, nobody cares more about your health than you do. And being your own advocate is so important in this area. And being willing to assert. And I think that's where, you know, I think in our culture, and I think this is getting better and it is changing and evolving, but there has always been a little bit of a deference and a lack or unwillingness to maybe assert ourselves in this area where, you know, we, because of the gaps that may exist. And also, quite candidly, I have family that is in the nursing profession, and I know for a fact that they are pulled on and asked to do many things all at once, and they have often a lot of patients they're responsible for. So, you know, to be there to ask for and to, you know, gently push when necessary to get things and to make sure things are done, you know, we have to be there to do that.
I couldn't agree with you more. The nurses are, as you said, pulled in so many directions, and frequently they're understaffed. So they're usually doing their best, a lot of times even skipping their own work breaks and their own lunch breaks, which isn't good for them.
Sure.
But they're very dedicated professionals. The doctors are often working under rules behind the scenes that we don't see on the surface. And those rules sometimes come from Medicare or from insurance companies. Their time with their patients is limited. Their caseloads are heavy. So I don't see it as an adversarial relationship with doctors or nurses, but I do see the need for someone to be on top and advocating strongly. The patient is usually flat on his or her back,
quite literally,
and in no position to advocate on their own. And that's why the family member or close friend is so important. They're upright, and they are in good health for the most part, or certainly better health than the patient.
They can communicate more effectively.
They can communicate more effectively, and if they show respect and a little knowledge in working with and discussing and conversing with medical professionals, 9 times out of 10, you get that in return. I like to tell people, doctors, nurses, they can be very busy, they're very rushed. If they tell you, I don't have time now, say, I understand, but I have some questions and I need to schedule some time. Can we do that at 4 o'clock this afternoon?
Yeah.
Is 3:30 better for you? But pin it down. Mm-hmm. Don't accept a rushed out the door, I don't have time. Make sure you get the responses you need, whether it's at that time or on a phone call later, because you, as the advocate for the patient, have every right to be asking for those questions.
You do. You do, and be prepared to when you're going to do all that. If you're just joining us, Bonnie Friedman's our guest today, author, speaker, blogger. She is the hospital warrior, and she's written the book, Hospital Warrior, How to Get the Best Care for Your Loved One. Be an advocate. It's so important. And we're going to grab a quick break. We'll come back and dig a deeper. You know, how do you prepare yourself to be this advocate? What are the financial and legal considerations? That's the stuff we need to get into. Stay right there and we'll do it.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back with Bonnie Friedman on the line. She is our guest today, and she's the author of Hospital Warrior, How to Get the Best Care for Your Loved One. And you can also visit the website with a lot of great resources, hospitalwarrior.com. And, you know, the thing, Bonnie, I think that for people to know is that they need to be prepared and be empowered to serve in this advocacy position for their loved one. And in order to do that, there are things, of course, they need to know and be prepared. And one of the big things is, of course, having the proper legal documents to give them the authority. You know, we have a lot of privacy issues and rules, and there are also certain, you know, authorizations that are required. So if you could speak to that, because I think that's probably something that people are not as aware of, that they need to have ready, you know, ready in their hand as needed to help the nursing professionals and healthcare professionals understand, you know, the role they're trying to take.
Well, you've raised a really important point. I'll start with a little personal story. Many years ago, when my husband was very, very ill, and we honestly didn't know if he would survive, I was busy advocating for him, trying to hold down my job and take care of two young children. And I also was doing things like paying the bills, which he had been doing as part of our division of labor before he got sick. When I sat down to pay bills, I came to realize we both had direct deposit into our individual checking account, but we didn't have power of attorney at the bank for access to each other's separate checking account.
Mm.
I could not pay the bills because I didn't have access to his salary that was being direct deposited. So I had to borrow money from my father in order to keep all our bills paid on time. And I can tell you that was a wake-up call for me.
Yeah.
It had not occurred to me before then that we would need to take care of things like that. We had wills, but I didn't appreciate the importance of something like this. So once Bob was better, one of the first things we did was make sure we had power of attorney both in place at the bank and more broadly through the legal documents we needed. Power of attorney is also important for your health care needs.
Right.
And I'm sure many people have heard about advanced directives and durable power of attorney. It's something you can set up with your lawyer. You can go online, read more about it. You can even download documents online. They're boilerplate, but they cover a lot of the necessary basics.
Yeah.
However you choose to do it. I personally think even if you use standard forms, you want someone with a little legal knowledge to look them over.
Yeah, Bonnie, I'm going to take it even one step further because I know there are online resources and do-it-yourself. I have done a lot of work with estate and trust planning, and I know a lot about it, but I've also found that there are oftentimes when I'm talking to an attorney that there's a nuance to it that even though I'm very familiar with, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. So, the legal professionals are well worth their compensation. And, just to clarify for our listeners, we've got three very important documents that relate to healthcare and power of attorney, separate apart from what you want to have happen to your assets, which is your will and trust. You've got the durable power of attorney for financial matters. That lets somebody make financial decisions like you're talking about with the checking accounts. You've got your healthcare power of attorney, also called a healthcare surrogate, which are what I call the make me better power of attorney. And then, make me better. And then the advanced directive, which is also, a little bit callously called the pull the plug directive let me go. Those three are all separate documents and important documents that really need to be in hand when you are, in this situation. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I would add to all of that an overriding conversation you want to have with your loved ones about the particulars of your personal preferences, because the legal documents give an individual the right to act, but they don't necessarily give the individual the knowledge about that power to act on.
That's a good point.
And it's something my husband and I have discussed many times. I thought I understood some of his preferences, but recently we had another conversation, and I realized maybe his thinking had evolved a little bit, but maybe I hadn't understood him properly the last time we talked. Keeping those conversations up to date and current is important, especially as we start getting a little older. These are not easy conversations to have, I grant you. But they are important, both for you and your loved ones, because you, if you're making decisions, want to make the right ones. And if someone's making decisions for you, you want to make sure they're making the right ones, too.
Yeah, absolutely. A two-way conversation. It needs to be ongoing communication. And this is, and also just some nuance. These documents give you the authority, but as you said, it doesn't necessarily give you the knowledge of what's going on. And also, a knowledge on preferences as to care. And, hey, let's talk about different scenarios. Let's talk about situations and what I would want you to be thinking about for me. And again, as with a lot to do with estate planning and family finances, communication, communication, communication.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it's so important. If you're just joining us, Bonnie Friedman's our guest, author of Hospital Warrior, How to Get the Best Care for Your Loved One. Hospitalwarrior.com is a website. Again, a lot of great resources there. We'll grab a quick break and we'll come back and dig a little deeper with Bonnie into this very important area. Stay tuned.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y. For a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Bonnie Friedman, our hospital warrior, is on the line with us talking about being a patient advocate for your loved one and having somebody there to help connect the dots, as she puts it, to make sure that things are getting done the way they need to be done, and ask questions and to get questions answered and to, you know, assert. And, you know, I have to, one of the neatest things I think that you share with Bonnie is about, you know, creating and kind of fostering a good, positive professional relationship with the healthcare providers. And I have to ask, did you follow your mother's example of having the chocolates in the room?
Sometimes it was cookies.
Okay, cookies. Okay. I love that because, you know, you mentioned that some of them would skip, you know, they're so pulled in different directions that they would skip maybe their own breaks and lunches or meal breaks, and having that certainly could, you know, there's nothing better than some good old-fashioned bait to get them in the room. So I love that part of it. I'm sure that helped to make for a little bit more of a pleasant interaction.
I think the nurses in general are wonderful.
Yeah.
And really working their hearts out. They're not going into these professions to get rich. It's truly a calling.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And they work so hard under some of the most difficult conditions. So I have great admiration for them. And I might add, in addition to bringing goodies, to give them little treats along the way.
Yeah.
It's also important to say thank you.
Absolutely.
To say please. And if a nurse has been especially helpful, I like to suggest a follow-up letter to the director of nursing at the hospital mentioning that particular nurse or perhaps all the nurses on that floor, because it does a world of good for them to get recognition for their hard work.
That's well put, Bonnie. I think that's very true. Well, you know, the other area that I wanted to make sure we got to, which is, again, another, it's a financial aspect, but it's also a practical standpoint, is Medicare, insurances, and all of this comes into play that, you know, while we're looking at the care itself, and again, the coordination and maybe even being a bit of a conductor, there's also the financial element, and so navigating, and again, healthcare in general is in a state of change, as we all are very aware. Where are some of the things maybe to point out that people should be paying attention to as it relates to insurance and just Medicare and maybe some of those things in general?
You know, this is an area that often is a big surprise for people. They are understandably most focused on the well-being of the patient and the medical care the patient's receiving. They may not be paying attention to some of these fine points that can have a real impact on financial considerations. So one that I like to point out at the very beginning is the difference between admission and observation when you go into the hospital. And that distinction may not affect quality of care, but it sure can have a bottom line impact for the patient and the family. When you are admitted to the hospital, your insurance coverage or your Medicare coverage is generally much broader and deeper. When you are seen for observation, which often is for a short period of time, perhaps a day or two, but you don't have the same full coverage.
Hmm.
When you're for being seen for observation, you're essentially being treated like an outpatient.
I see.
So it means every doctor, every service, every treatment has an individual copay. When you have full admission, then you usually have one payment you're responsible for, depending on your insurance policy or your Medicare coverage, and not individual copays. Those individual copays add up very, very quickly.
Oh, no question. You know, the analogy that pops into my mind as you describe that, Bonnie, is a little bit like everything is ordered a la carte.
Yes.
And then versus maybe the blue plate special for those people that remember that, or the maybe paying one cover charge and being, you know, able to, you know, hit the buffet.
Right.
Yeah.
And I assure you, those charges can mount very, very quickly. There's also a longer term implication. I know this is true on Medicare, and it would vary by individual insurance policy. So I can't speak to the particulars of insurance plans. But certainly under Medicare, if you have not been admitted to the hospital and had 3 full days of admission in that hospital, Medicare generally will not cover nursing and rehabilitation treatment at a follow-up facility. And those expenses mount incredibly quickly, often starting at $250 or $300 a day just to be in a skilled nursing facility, not to mention all the additional costs associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in the hospital, fully admitted, your bottom line coverage, your costs will be generally a lot lower for you. But if you have to go to nursing or rehab to follow, you're going to have much better coverage as well. People generally aren't aware of that distinction. It's something to ask about at the time of
definitely.
Admission. Am I admitted or am I here for observation? And if you or your loved one is being told you're here for observation, I would question it. I would challenge it. I'd push back on it. Try to get full admission wherever you can. It is not a problem for your medical care necessarily, but it sure can have a pocketbook implication.
Excellent, Bonnie. Good advice. Bonnie Friedman, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest today, Hospital Warrior, How to Get the Best Care for Your Loved One. That's the book. HospitalWarrior.com is a website. Bonnie, love what you're doing. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me as a guest. It's been my pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.